listening to The Coffee Hour with Andy.
And Sarah.
On Worldwide KFUO. It is a good morning in studio. One of the best things we get to do, we get to talk with those who serve the Lord and proclaim His good news around the world. In studio today with Pastor Charles Ferry, serving the Lord in Asia. Pastor Ferry, welcome back to KFUO.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate having me back.
It's good to have you here on The Coffee Hour.
Indeed.
And, well, we get to talk about coffee every once in a while. Is coffee a part of the culture where you live
now? It only makes sense because one of the islands in the place where I live is the island of Java.
Oh, yeah.
So you talk about the origin of coffee. We know coffee.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, we don't drink the stuff that we produce.
Ah.
So most of the stuff at home is all this kind of mixed with hot water, three-in-one kind of stuff. But, you know, it kind of grows on you after a while. So
that sounds really sad.
The best coffee, though, is called Kopi Luwak. And this is coffee that is actually farmed in Indonesia. It's coffee that's actually fed to a civet animal called a luwak in Indonesia. And after the coffee's been processed by the civet, they actually collect it and brew it. And it's supposed to be some of the best. It is certainly the most expensive coffee in the world.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a new kind of coffee to try, I could bring you some next time.
I'll pass on that.
I might try it.
Mm-hmm.
Pun intended.
Good stuff.
So I guess we should share with our listeners today where you're serving and how you're serving. I know we've talked about it in the past.
Yeah, I'm actually serving all over Asia right now. My family and I have been living in Indonesia for 4 years now. Recently I was appointed to serve as the regional director for all of Asia. So I do a lot of time in airplanes, a lot of time bouncing around in different places where we have personnel and where we have work going on as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we have about 20 countries that we're actively serving in right now in various ways, and people in a good number of them. So we get around quite a bit, and in almost all of them, it is warmer than it is right here in St. Louis. I'm just saying. When I got on the plane in Singapore, it was 90 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh. Oh, man.
When I got off the plane in Chicago, it was zero.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a jump to make. Talk about a wide awakening. Wow.
Zero.
I almost got back on the plane and headed back home.
You needed some of that special coffee.
I did indeed. I needed something warm. Wow. But it is good to be back. Always good to be back in St. Louis. The land in America of free refills at the restaurants, because you don't get those in Asia at all. So yeah, it's always good to be back home again.
That's great. How much do you get to interact with the people that you're around, or is it more of a sitting behind a desk kind of job?
No, thankfully there is very little sitting behind a desk. When I'm at home in Asia, I am always interacting with either our local church partners, because in most of the places we have actual established churches with whom we are working, where they have made formal requests for our help as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So in a lot of places, we are theological educators. We are teaching and preaching regularly and are being able to build up our local churches so that they can ever more faithfully be able to preach the pure word of God and administer the sacraments as He's given them to us. So I'm always out and about. In Indonesia, it's fun to interact with our neighbors as we've gotten better and better with the language over the years. We have more opportunities for that. My neighbor is a teacher at the local Islamic university. And so he comes over and we have discussions from time to time as our kids are kind of playing together in the street. And we talk religion and talk theology, basically. And what an absolute trip to be able to do that. It's not taboo there. It's not a sensitive topic. So we can have those interfaith dialogues, we call them. And what a great opportunity that is.
So we've just come off of the just wrapping up the season of Christmas here into Epiphany. And so what were the holidays like in Indonesia?
You know, one thing that has been striking in living in Asia is the radical difference between the holiday seasons. And, you know, over here in America, as I was growing up all the time in Wisconsin, it was Christmas is the biggest part of the year. And everybody's so excited, but everything kind of stops and changes. And in Asia, not at all. Even among the Christian population in most places, the Christmas is just not that big of a deal. It's barely a blip on the radar. And part of that, too, you know, you're walking down the street and you happen to hear a Christmas carol or you see Christmas decorations here and there, but there's no snow and it's 95 degrees. So it's really kind of hard to get into the Christmas spirit with that. But even among the Christians, unless you're in the Philippines, where Christmas is the biggest deal in the world, and Christmas celebrations start in about the month of September already. And all the way through those burr months of September, October, November, December, everybody's doing Christmas. And so in the Philippines, you can't help but get just tied up into this Christmas celebration. But of course, they don't have Halloween like we do. They don't have Thanksgiving like we do. So once that season starts, there are no speed bumps. It is full speed ahead all the way into to Christmas Day. There is much more of an emphasis on the New Year in Asia, either the calendar New Year from December 31st to January 1st, or, of course, the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, which this year is happening about mid-February. So New Year's is much, much bigger of a holiday there. And what's been fascinating to me as a Lutheran pastor is the emphasis in the New Year in Asia on basically confession and repentance. It is a big deal to go to your friends, your family members, your neighbors, and to be able to say, wherever I have offended you, wherever I have made mistakes against you in this last year, please forgive me. And let's go forward into this new year as those who have been reconciled. So talk about a wonderful open door to be able to talk about our theology of forgiveness and repentance and our baptismal identity where we are washed clean each and every day. What a great opportunity to be able to link those things together, because in some ways they are very much primed for it.
Absolutely. So going back to Christmas, I just want to talk about Christmas. Being separated from American tradition, are there things that you've been able to, traditions you've been able to keep as your family, even though you're living in Asia?
We really have had to be intentional about that. I have five young children, the oldest of whom is 12, and the youngest is 1.5. So we really have worked hard at trying to link them to the real meaning of Christmas. And in some ways, it's been a great place to raise these kids because we're spared from a lot of this crass commercialism that just infects our American society when it comes to Christmas. And so we've been able to focus on lots of wonderful hymn singing. We've been able to focus on the manger scene and our Lord coming and being incarnate of the Virgin Mary, that he gave this gift to us. And so we've been able to focus on those things. We've been able to find a Christmas tree and be able to set that up with our kids. So that was a wonderful victory to be able to find that in the biggest Muslim country in the world. So you just got to have your eyes open at every opportunity and be looking for this. But, you know, we've really been able to focus on the season of Advent and make the most use of this wonderful time of preparation and penitence and getting ready for not just the day of Christmas, but the season of Christmas. And so we make full use of all 12 days of Christmas and then go into Epiphany and be able to make use of that entire season also. And then to be able to build up our church partners in that, too. When they see us doing these traditions, they're asking questions. Oh, what are you doing there? Well, let me explain it to you. You know, here's where this comes from in the history of the church and in the Holy Scriptures. You know, let's enjoy these things together as Lutherans, Christians. And they are just eating them up. It is so much fun to see as they see so many of these things for the first time, and they go, oh, I can't wait to put this into practice in our congregation.
You mentioned earlier having conversations with your neighbor who is a professor at an Islamic university. Are there others that you've met that you've had the opportunity to build relationships with and get to know? What's their story?
Yeah, and a lot of times we have to be very careful because if there's one thing that is not desired in a lot of these countries is a missionary. because they don't want you to be imposing your religion on others. They also don't want us what's called proselytizing, so we can't go out there and actively seek for ways of talking about these things. But as you're just out there and you're interacting with people and you're walking around with five little kids, they just naturally ask some of these questions. And so once they ask questions, well, then the door is open to have some of these conversations. And they are very curious about especially what we believe about the Trinity. We get accused very often of believing in three gods because we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We get accused of, you know, I had one guy ask me one time, he said, well, how can you follow a God who died? You know, didn't he lose at that point? So how can you give him any kind of worship or honor? And I said, yeah, he did die for us. And that's exactly the point. That's how he won the victory. And you could see his eyes get real wide. That just blew his mind. So what a wonderful opportunity to be able to kind of tell that story from that perspective and be able to debunk some of those misconceptions just like we have about them.
So what's coming up in the near future? Any exciting things?
We have a huge year coming. What's been really fun is that we've been able to reprint the Book of Concord. We did that about a year ago. And now to see some of the follow-up to that and to have people ask for more, our church partners are asking us for education to help them dive into this book. And they said, please give us more education on this wonderful Book of Concord and this confession of Christ that it makes on every single page. So what an absolute joy that has to be. We're also translating and reprinting the Small Catechism because they're asking for it, just a very inexpensive version of it that they can hand out like candy. Mm-hmm. So you get requests like that. What a joy that is to be able to fulfill those and help them reach out to their communities in those ways.
How can we follow you, find out what's going on with the Lord's work in Asia?
We have wonderful things. LCMS.org/ferry is our giving and information page. And we're also online at ferries.asia.
Very good. You're listening to The Coffee Hour with Andy
and Sarah
on Worldwide KFUO.